G-80. Drive-in, Birchwood, Colorado.
Who the hell are you?
Henry McCarthy angrily boomed at the arrogant man before him. He hadn't intended to display this kind of anger or even to speak, but the tone adopted by this unknown interloper was too much for him to let slide.
Jesus, Phil snapped at Henry. What part of don't talk did you miss? Get in and shut up.
This tone wasn't one that Henry would ordinarily let slide either. Even from an old friend he knew to be as prickly and rough around the edges as Phil, but the present circumstances and the seemingly desperate exasperation with which the words were delivered were unusual enough for him to acquiesce. Mr. Bird walked into the office without so much as a word, but keenly took in every detail of the mystery man's appearance. It struck him as quite an achievement to look so untrustworthy in a suit as expensive as this one clearly was, now that he could see it up close, and he concluded that the man's slicked back hair and orange-tinged fake tan played a major part in this apparent incongruence.
Who are you?
Mr. Bird calmly asked once he was fully inside. He then raised a finger in Phil's direction and turned to face him, preempting the rebuke he saw coming.
And you didn't tell me not to talk, Phil, so don't even start your shit.
Phil raised his eyebrows in reaction to Mr. Bird's uncharacteristically blue turn of phrase, as tame as it was in relation to Henry's or his own frequently coarser language, and didn't speak up to dissuade his dubious visitor from answering. Indeed, he turned to the man in invitation for him to reply. Even with all eyes squarely on him, the man retained his air of relaxed calmness.
You can call me Chip, he said.
Mr. Bird took a deep breath.
I didn't ask what you want me to call you, he hissed, his voice devoid of its usual softness. I asked who the hell you are, and let's throw in another one while we're at it. What the hell are you doing here?
Chris Petrovich, attorney at law, the man said, unperturbed by the strength of Mr. Bird's questioning. But as I said, Walter, you can call me Chip.
Petrovich?
Henry chimed in, taking the word from Mr. Bird's lips. It was no real surprise that he knew Mr. Bird's first name. Anyone who ever spent time in Birchwood or even closely followed McCarthy-related news from afar was familiar with his steady presence. And their surprise came instead from the fact that they so quickly and so surely recognized Chip's surname. Chip nodded.
Like, Darko Petrovich? Henry pushed. Are you Diamonds Boy?
A smile spread broadly across Chip's face.
Wow, I haven't heard that name in a while. But yeah, Diamond Darko was my father. Did you know him well?
He did my divorce, Henry said, looking at Chip in a whole new way now that he knew who he was, or at least whose he was.
She walked out, but when the time came, she still wanted custody. It wasn't pretty, but Diamond did what had to be done and our lives went on. He was one of the good ones. It's a goddamn sin what happened to him in the end.
Diamond Darko, Mr. Bird mused, vividly picturing the giant stud earrings and jet black hair that the name brought forth in his bank of almost forgotten memories. He casually took a seat next to Chip, his anger just as softened by this revelation as Henry's had been.
If that's not a blast from the past, I don't know what is. What was with the hostility, Phil? You and Diamond go way back too.
That doesn't mean I want this idiot showing up in public on one of my busiest days of the year, Phil grunted. Does it, idiot?
So what's the story there? Henry asked.
Phil and Chip exchanged a long glance.
How much do they know? Chip asked after a few tense seconds.
What have you told them?
About what?
Henry McCarthy suspiciously and impatiently interjected. The client-lawyer stare-down was even tenser now, and the silence all the more oppressive. Chip was once again first to speak, but this time he measured his words more carefully.
I'm sorry, boys, but the ball's in Phil's court as to what he wants to tell you, This is his business.
Phil nodded approvingly.
I've told them nothing, and that's how it stays.
Charming, Mr. Bird chimed in.
Ungrateful prick,
Henry added, his tone matching the sharpness of the words. In a sudden flash of anger that was remarkably intense even for him, Phil slammed the bottom of his fist into the wooden door so hard that it left a slight indentation.
Shut your fucking mouth, Henry, he boomed. You don't know what I'm handling here. It's nothing to do with Dan or the aliens or any of that shit. So just fucking back off, will you?
Phil, I think you should tell them, Chip calmly suggested. They deserve to know. Henry, taken aback by Phil's last passionate response, said nothing. Mr. Bird, too, deemed it unwise to interject any further. Rubbing his fist as the pain from its colossal impact with the unbudging door sank in, Phil grimaced. He then shook his head and sighed.
Fine. This place is going to have a new owner in the next few months. I've been making some legal arrangements with Chip to make sure things have to operate within certain parameters once I'm out of the picture, because money's money, but this place means something to me. The past 3 weeks have been such a mental drain. Honestly, I'm just glad I'm not going to have to do this for much longer.
Only too well aware of the certain delicate contexts that Chip didn't know anything about, Henry and Mr. Bird were very careful in formulating their replies. The past few weeks had been mentally draining, and they too were looking forward to the secret regarding what Dan and Billy Kendrick found on New Kerguelen being behind them in a matter of hours, once the load had been shared with whoever Dan opted to tell in Buenos Aires. But precisely because that secret would be behind them so soon, it didn't make sense in either man's mind that Phil was thinking of selling up New Kerguelen and perhaps even the whole drive-in lot.
What are you selling? Mr. Bird asked, wondering the same thing Henry had so far kept to himself.
The bar or the drive-in? This lot must be damn near priceless with all the attention it gets whenever anything happens. What would you even do with that much money?
No such thing as too much money, Phil grinned.
Henry shook his head.
Cut the bullshit, Norris. We can both see through it. What's going on? You can't be in money trouble, not with your other assets. So what is this? If you want out of Birchwood or you just need a break, that doesn't mean you need to sell. Clark would run the bar for you. You told me before that you were thinking about leaving it in his hands if anything ever happened to you. And there would be all kinds of ways to hand the broader lot's management over to someone else for a while. Just don't be rash here, okay? Don't do anything you can't undo. Not without talking to us.
I just need to sign a few things about my business with Chip, Phil told his friends. Then he'll be on his way back to Denver and I'll be back in the bar.
Denver's quite a drive for a surprise visit like this, ain't it? Mr. Bird asked. Business is business, Chip shrugged. This guy is the only thing that ever brings me back these days, he went on, pointing his thumb at Phil. And you see the way he greets me when I bring some urgent documents all this way on a damn Sunday? Ungrateful prick that he is.
Phil grinned at Chip's final words, which called back to Henry's from earlier in the conversation, but which came with a lot more humor and a lot less bitterness.
But listen, guys, Chip said. If Phil isn't going to say it outright to ease your minds, then I will. None of the documents I brought here today have anything to do with selling the bar or the lot. I'll give you my word on that on my old man's grave, so you can take it to the bank.
Henry reached out to shake the younger man's hand.
Understood, but tell me, why, Chip? Diamond was obvious enough, what with that watch and those earrings that used to drag his head down, but Chip, is it just a kind of blur of Chris and Petrovich?
Ask Clark, Chip replied with a slight chuckle and a shake of the head,
and tell him I said hi while you're at it. Non-ironically, it's been way too long. I've been up in Denver for nearly 15 years and I haven't seen him once since I left Birchwood. We were never all that tight, but it's been pretty cool seeing him on TV so much in the past few years. Someone is gonna have to explain to me how the hell he ended up with Tara Ford, but that's for another day.
Henry chuckled.
See you around, kid.
Chip raised a hand to signal his goodbye. What's the code for the door you locked? Mr. Bird asked before they left, remembering just in time to save a second entry to the office.
50-12-23,
Phil replied, stating it openly in front of Chip in a manner that would have removed any doubt as to how much he trusted the young lawyer, and son of an old friend, had any remained.
I'll be back in there soon, like I said, but if anyone asks what's going on, downplay everything, okay?
Really? Henry interjected with more than a hint of sarcasm.
Oh, we were thinking of upplaying it and causing more hassle than your stupid show already did.
Phil didn't reply. Out in the concrete corridor on the other side of the office door, Henry and Mr. Bird both blew air from their lips.
Well? Mr. Bird asked. Well, I believe the kid about these documents and not being related to any sales,
Henry said.
But right now I'm struggling to believe a word Phil says. Something about him is off. Way off.
I don't like any of this one bit either. Mr. Bird nodded in agreement as they made the very short journey back towards the bar.
But if we're looking for a silver lining, Henry boy, at least this whole thing wasn't anything to do with the aliens.
I guess there's always that,
Henry said with a relieved sigh as he waited for Mr. Bird to type the security code on the eye-level keypad.
I guess there's always that.